Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good on tonight. Amen. I said the Lord is good on tonight. Amen. You know what else? The Lord is good to you on tonight. I said the Lord is good to you on tonight. Amen. I'm giving you a chance to testify. The Lord is good to you tonight. Amen. Yes, he is. He's good to me too. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good, and he's a faithful God, and he's a loving God, and he's a kind God. You have your Bible. Go with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. Hallelujah. Not long ago, I was reading this passage of scripture. I was getting ready for a school of the Bible lesson, teaching in school of the Bible, and was reading through Genesis 40 when I came across these verses, verses 20 through 23 that we'll read tonight. Genesis 40 verses 20 through 23. And I want you to know this, God has not forgotten you. Amen. I want you to help me preach tonight. Look at somebody, establish eye contact with somebody and tell them God has not forgotten you. That's very important what you're saying. Look at somebody else. Tell them now, this is very important tonight. Tell them God has not forgotten you. Yeah, he's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten your labor of love. That's the title of our message tonight. God has not forgotten you. So I read these verses preparing for a Sunday school lesson. And when I did, when my eyes dawned upon verses 20 through 23, well, then I knew reading that there was some other fish in the pond. Anybody know what I mean by that? You know, that's preacher lingo. You know, sometimes you read things and the Lord quickens you. There's something there that you've got to go back. I knew go back. Now, sometimes in that pond, you know, sometimes the Lord showed me there's a fish in the pond. That's how I refer to it. There's a sermon or a lesson or something. There's an encouragement in there, something deeper in there, something I should go back and look at. You know, sometimes when I find a fish in the pond, sometimes I go back. The Lord said, that's just for you. Other times when I go back and look at to get the fish out of the pond, he said, now that's for the people. And so this time, the Lord said, now this is a sermon. This is something I want you to minister on. And so that's the reason we're sharing from this verse tonight. That's the reason we're sharing from this verse. I feel like the Lord would say this to his people tonight. So let's read. We're in Genesis chapter 40. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, if you will. And we're going down to verse 20. Thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. 21. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. 23. And yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. If you've ever read this story, you know that this story is laden with hope and heartbreak all in the same chapter. Joseph, you know, had been unjustly jailed. Won't go back through his whole story, but you know, he had a dream, and when he was 17 years old and saw himself ruling and reigning, and you understand his brothers got jealous and they decided to kill him, and then one of them talked him out of killing him. They sold him down to into slavery. They put him in a pit first. They're going to kill him. Then they took him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and from the Ishmaelites, Potiphar came along and bought Joseph as a slave. He went to Potiphar's house. Each time God blessed him, elevated him, but he was a slave. And then at Potiphar's house, you know, Potiphar's wife made eyes at Joseph and tried to seduce him, and he wouldn't yield to that. But because she did, Potiphar got mad, believed her story over Joseph's story, and threw him in prison. And in prison, the Bible says God still started blessing this man. Amen. He was there unjustly. He was there for the wrong reason. And so chapter 40 gives us to know that in that same prison, Joseph got some prison mates, if you were, came to join him. And one was the chief cupbearer of the king. And the other, you know, was the baker, the Pharaoh's baker. And on a particular night, Pharaoh's baker and cupbearer had a dream. And Joseph came in and saw him, observed him, and interpreted both of their dreams. And he told the cupbearer, you know, the cupbearer had a dream about some vines coming forth, and then the vines, you know, budded blossoms, and Then he had the cup in his hand. Joseph interpreted his dream and said, Joseph told him, said, look, in 3 days, the Lord's going to restore you, give you your job back. And you're going to put the cup back in your hand. And you're going to give the cup to Pharaoh 3 days from now. The baker heard that interpretation. And he said, let me tell you my dream. And so he told Joseph his dream. And Joseph said, you know, well, the outcome ain't so good for you. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to cut your head off. And the birds of the air are going to come and eat your flesh. And just like Joseph had predicted, that's exactly what happened 3 days later. Cupbearer got his job back, and the baker, he was beheaded. But before the cupbearer left the prison, he had another talk with Joseph. And Joseph said to him sternly, I'm here unjustly. I never tried to do anything with Potiphar's wife. I'm being jailed unjustly. And you've got the attention of Pharaoh. And what I want you to do is go and tell Pharaoh that I'm here unjustly so that I can be released from this prison. I'm sure Joseph saw that after all of these years of going through one trial after the next and being sold into slavery, I'm sure he saw this is finally my answer. Somebody who was a partner with me in the jail can go and vouch for me and tell Pharaoh that I'm here unjustly. And I'm sure it was a great encouragement to know that the cupbearer was going back into the presence of Pharaoh. But what we just read there at verse 23, the cupbearer, he went back into the presence of Pharaoh, all right. But it says that he forgot all about Joseph. And the Bible tells us, when you read on just a little bit, it says, chapter 41, verse 1 says, now it happened at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream. You could say, well, maybe it wasn't that long. Maybe it wasn't as long as Joseph thought it was. No, it was that long. Somebody said, well, maybe it was a year and a half. No. It was in the 2 full years. And you know, when you're on this side of heaven, 2 years can seem like a lot of time, whole lot of time to you. And anybody know what I'm talking about? And yet this man, the cupbearer totally forgot about Joseph for 2 full years. And I have a question for you. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt forgotten about? That somebody just somewhere along the line just forgot about you. Maybe you were in an unfair situation like Joseph and somebody forgot about you. Maybe you've gone through trial and adversity and somebody forgot about you. But there are times that people go through things, my brother and sister, and you can feel forgotten about. There may be somebody right here tonight and you're feeling the results, the conflict that comes from being forgotten about. But I want you to know one thing tonight. God has not forgotten you. And the thing about it, 2 full years passed by, and Joseph's heartbreak here would have been caused by a broken promise. Everybody say broken promise. Yeah. And when somebody breaks a promise, it can be most especially hurtful. You can feel most especially forgotten about. When someone has promised that they would do something, promised that they would that they would have something for you or do something for you or be by your side, whatever it was. Someone made a promise, and then when that promise is broken, you can feel a sense of being forgotten, and that sense of being forgotten can lead to the road of loneliness. And that's a dangerous road to get on. And let me tell you this, God does not want you and I feeling lonely. Amen. The year was 1975. And in 1975, as secular music goes, how many of you were around in 1975? Let me date y'all. How many of you weren't even born in 1975? Alrighty then. Anyway. 1975, man, B.J. Thomas had a smash hit in 1975. And 1975, he had this song, Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song. That was at the top of the charts in 1975. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all afraid to raise your hand? That song starts out, "It's so lonely out tonight, and the feeling just got right for a brand new love song. Somebody done somebody wrong song. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song? Make me feel at home. I miss my baby." Broken promises can produce loneliness. And if you're not careful, that road to loneliness can lead you right into deception. Because you start thinking that nobody cares about you, and then you start thinking the ultimate devilish thought, that God himself don't care about you. And when people arrive at that perspective, that nobody cares, and even worse, that God himself don't care, it is a deadly place spiritually. It is a place of wilderness. It is a place of spiritual death. It is where the enemy tries to lure people. Because when people get there to that kind of wilderness, they forfeit their rights under the covenant that Jesus provided. They forfeit our authority that Jesus has provided. And so a broken promise. Genesis, you know, we started there 40 verse 20. Look at Genesis 50 verse 20. Genesis 50 verse 20. Joseph was quite an amazing man. How did he handle it? Joseph, he seemed to be able to handle these circumstances of time. You know, two full years. Genesis 50 verse 20, and the last conversation with his brothers, you know, they thought Joseph would retaliate. You remember what Joseph told them? "As for you," talking to his brothers, "you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." Joseph had this sense that God is on my side. Really, 13 years passed from the time that they first did him wrong, from the time that they sold him to the time that the Lord made him prime minister. The Bible says he was 17 when he had his dream. He was 30 when he became prime minister. God gave him 80 great years as prime minister of Egypt. But when you have 80 years to serve faithfully and to be blessed, 2 years don't seem like nothing. Amen. 80 years trump 2 years like nothing. But when you're going through the 2 years, sometimes you can lose sight of the 80. You understand what I'm saying? And so broken promises, the cup bearer promised that he would tell Joseph's story and then broke his promise. And at the end of 2 years, God gave Pharaoh a dream that nobody could interpret. And then the cupbearer remembered that only Joseph could interpret the dream. And he told Pharaoh about Joseph. And Pharaoh said, "Go and get him." And Joseph shaved and changed his clothes and went in there and said, "God can interpret Pharaoh's dream." And the rest was history. The cupbearer forgot about him, but God didn't forget about him. My friend, everybody you know may have forgotten about you tonight. But the Bible says this: when your father and mother have forgotten you, the Lord will take you up. When they have forsaken you, the Lord will take you up. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Don't yield to the temptation to think that God has somehow forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. And so Joseph overcame the loneliness that's produced by a broken promise. Go with me to another scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. This will be another familiar passage of scripture to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, talking about David at Ziklag. I love this story. You no doubt you know this story. I'm going to read through most of it pretty quick. Slow down at the very end. You remember the story. David and his men were being chased by Saul. Saul had 3,000 people. They were hunting David down and his men like a dog. David had 600 loyal, faithful men with him. Saul had 3,000 men. They were chasing David down. To escape from Saul, he went over into the Philistines' territory. Philistine and Israel were arch enemies historically. But to get away from Saul, Because God had said that David would be king one day. Then David went over into the Philistine camp. While he was there, he befriended a Philistine commander, and David and he had a friendship, and David was going to go and fight for the Philistines. They marched out of their town. There's 600 men, so they have wives and families. They have livestock and livelihoods, and so anyway, you remember the story. He got down there three days away from Ziklag to the Philistine commander. That commander had someone over him who said, "Isn't that David who slew Goliath? We better not let him fight. He might turn against us." And so then David's commander said, "You better go back home on this one. We're not going to let you fight this battle." So they went 3 days out there. They marched 3 days back home. When he got back home, you know the story. Ziklag had been taken by a band of marauders. They came through and scorched earth. They burnt the place to a crisp. They took all of their wives, their children, their cattle, their livestock, everything worth any value, they took with them wherever they went. And so you remember that story. Okay, now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Are you with me now? Okay, verse 3. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. I wonder, has anybody ever been there? You may have been through things in your life so devastating that you cried until there was no more strength to cry. And verse 5, now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed. Listen now. Moreover, verse 6, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There is a particular loneliness when you feel that people have forgotten you. You may have served faithfully in various capacities to help people and to just sacrificially give your time or your money, your effort and energy, and maybe somebody has forgotten that. And when people forget you like that, it can produce a depth of loneliness that can be so very painful. You may just be looking for a simple thank you and acknowledgement. Speaking of acknowledgement, the traffic team stood out in the rain today during the morning service, as morning service was, you know, letting people cross. These men and women stood out in the rain to serve us. Can we just show our love to the traffic team? They just... But there's something that hurts when people just forget your service, your labor of love, with David, you know, we see just the pain that comes from that, and yet the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. For David, you know, we just read about Joseph. For Joseph, I said it was a broken promise that produced that loneliness. For David, it was a broken plan. That plan to go to Ziklag, that was a messed up plan. And that's why they wanted to stone him. They were stoning him. They wanted to stone David for a failed plan. He came up with the idea to go and fight with the Philistines in the first place. It was a plan that went awry. You may be sitting here tonight. You may be listening to this message, and maybe you had a plan and it didn't go the way you thought it would. And life sometimes doesn't always go according to plan, my brother and sister. Life can sometimes turn your plan, no matter how good, your plan can sometimes be turned upside down. And when a plan breaks, when a plan fails, when a plan is broken, it can produce discouragement and loneliness that can leave you in a place where you just want to give up. But the scripture said here that even though David had a broken plan, even though Joseph had a broken promise, there should have been one person of the 600 that would have come forward and said, "Captain, it didn't go right, but I'm still with you. Cap, you know, I'm behind you. I know everything failed, but I'm with you on this thing." There should have been one from 600 men that would have risen to say, "I got your back. I may be hurting, I may be bruised, I may be lonely, but I got your back." But nobody came. And it can be especially hurtful when you know you could use a knock on the door and nobody come. And ain't nobody there. And you say, should people be there? Yeah. Should people be more sensitive? Yeah. Should we all? Yeah, we should. Oh man, we should. But David found a way to encourage himself in the Lord. He had this ability within himself. When nobody showed up, nobody came, nobody patted him on the back, he said, "That's all right. I've got a Bible. I've got a scripture. I'm going to read the word myself. I've got a mouth. I'm going to lift my voice to the Lord. I've got a hand. I'm going to go ahead and bless him anyway. I've got a mind. I'm going to remember the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to honor him." David said, "I've got a Bible I can read. Nobody showed up and I needed somebody to encourage me." But he said, "That's all right. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord." And he had this ability to get to scripture, to get to the presence of the Lord. And you and I can draw a lot on that. And so later we read, we don't have time because I want to go to one more scripture in our last few moments, but over in 2 Samuel chapter 16, and then write this down too, 2 Samuel chapter 19. Now in 16, 2 Samuel, David, he's restored to the kingdom. What happened is he became king. He went on to become king, but then his son Absalom rebelled against him. And Absalom stole away the hearts of the people. The Bible said after 2 years of phony. Anyway, Absalom, he stole away the hearts of the people. And he rose up and called himself king. And he was going to kill his father and everybody else of his father's entourage. And so David had to run for his life during the Absalom rebellion. Well, while he's running from his life, then this man Shimei comes out. And he starts mocking David. And he starts saying, "The reason your son is king is because you are no good. You are guilty. You have harmed the kingdom of God. God hasn't called you. You shouldn't be king. You're just reaping what you sowed. You're getting what you deserve." And he kicked dirt on David as he walked parallel to him. He kicked dirt on him. And David was still the king. With someone kicking dirt on him. But the Bible said that David, he strengthened himself again. I've got to show you that. Look, you're in go to 2 Samuel. I got to show you that. Because my point is how David could so often refresh himself like that. And in 2 Samuel 16, is that where I told you to go? 2 Samuel 16. And verse 13. So David and his men went on the way, and Shimei went along on the hillside parallel with him. And as he went, he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. And then the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary. And he refreshed himself there. Can you see it again? He got there to his destination weary, hurting, lonely. But the Bible said he refreshed himself there. David had this ability that if somebody didn't show up, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you, you may be sitting here and maybe nobody came to you. Maybe nobody encouraged you. You can encourage yourself in God. You can read your Bible. You may need massive doses of scripture, but you can read your word on your own. Nobody should have to spoon feed you. Get your Bible out and read the word yourself. Amen. I wish I had one amen in here. You feel yourself getting lonely? You need to run to the book. You need to run to the reservoir that is Christ Jesus. You need to run to his presence and worship him and bless his name. And stay there until your heart is encouraged. We got to go to one more scripture before I let you go. Before I let you go. And go with me this time. This time, 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Time always goes by so quick, you know. 1 Kings 19. A broken promise. A broken plan. Elijah finds himself in 1 Kings chapter 19 in that same type of despair and loneliness, but this time the result of broken people. Broken people are hurting people. And let me tell you something about hurting people. Hurting people, and sometimes they don't mean to, sometimes they mean to, but hurting people always find a way to hurt somebody else. Hurting people, they just they're in pain themselves. They don't realize the pain they're inflicting, and they reach beyond their walls and inflict pain on other people. And Jezebel and Ahab did that to Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah is coming off two of the greatest victories that he ever had. The victory over the 450 prophets of Baal was a huge victory. And then the victory of prayer for the rain was a huge victory. And yet he found himself hundreds of miles away outside the will of God. Let's take a look real quick. 1 Kings 19:1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time." And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And so, you know, the thing about this story is he went a day's journey, the Bible says, into the wilderness. He left his servant. He went further. The longer you dwell on how somebody hurt you, the longer you dwell on the pain that you're in, the longer you sit there and wallow in it, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen is what happened to Elijah. You're going to have a pity party. And a pity party is one of the most dangerous parties. It's so dangerous. I'll tell you why a pity party is so dangerous. Because a pity party is laden with self-deception. A pity party. If you allow yourself to have a pity party, you will arise from there self-deceived. And if you're not self-deceived, then the enemy will help you and deceive you. When you get to a pity party, you say, "Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares." Or sometimes people say, "Well, you know, God don't care. Or if he does care, I'm not even on his radar. God don't care. If God cares about me, why did he let me go through what I went through? If he cares about me, why did I go through what I've gone through?" Let me tell you something, my brother and sister. We live in a fallen world.
That's right.
And there are times that we can't explain when terrible things happen to wonderful people. The Bible says it this way: we see through a glass dimly. One day, when we're in the presence of Christ, we'll see face to face. Let me tell you, we don't always understand why things happen. We know we live in a fallen world. And sometimes good people, sometimes bad things happen to good people. And it's a mistake when we say, well, you know, something bad happened to somebody. Oh, they must have sinned. I wonder what sin they committed. John 9, they said, who sinned? The blind man or his parents that he was born that way? Jesus said, neither of them. Sin has consequences. But what I'm saying is we're wrong if we assume that when people go through things, oh, they must have sinned. That's the exact wrong thing you should assume. But Elijah went to sleep under a juniper tree. He said, it is enough now, Lord. It is enough. I like it where it says in the Living Bible, he says, I've had enough. He said, Lord, just take me home. It doesn't matter if I go now or later, so just take me now. And you may have had some foolish thought like that that came out of a pity party. If you had a thought like that, then you've had your pity party. But let me tell you this, that is, you're going to have to cast that thought down. My Bible said this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to make it obey Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. You're going to have to cast those thoughts down. I said, you can't afford to let that thought just run in your mind. God's not through with you is what I'm telling you. I know maybe somebody left before they should have. Maybe somebody you really love is no longer here. And I know you may feel like, Lord, just take me to, take me home, take me home. But I came to tell you, God's not through with you. And he sent an angel to Elijah. And you know what the angel, you know what the angel did? The angel, first of all, put down a cake of bread and a cup of water beside him. And then the angel woke him up and said, you need to eat. You are malnourished. He said, God's going to send you on a journey. Where you should be is Mount Horeb. You're out here in this horrible wilderness. He was 200 miles off course. And the angel said, you're going to have to go 200 miles from here. He was supposed to be at Mount Horeb. That's where God met with Moses. That's where God gave his law. That's where God spoke so profoundly to his people, Mount Horeb. He's 200 miles away in the wilderness. And that's exactly what loneliness and discouragement will do to you, my friend. We'll leave you miles off course from the will of God. But you have a way back. The angel told him, you've got to eat. You're going to have to eat. Eat that bread, drink that water. And let me tell you, there is a natural balance that we all need to have. A preacher can't get an amen if he say that. I said, we have to take care of ourselves. It's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. Don't go comparing yourself to somebody else, you know. But the thing is, you should do something. Find some way to keep yourself in balance physically. I can get two amens. He told him, you're malnourished. You need to eat something. You need to be in balance. And we got to keep ourselves in balance. But also spiritually. John 4:31-32, Jesus said this, I have meat. They were telling Jesus to eat. He said, I got meat to eat that you know not of. He was talking about spiritual food. And so, you know, the Bible says, you know, that we're to live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so after the angel made him eat, then he was able to go on a 200-mile trek without any more food other than what he had there. Broken people. They hurt other people. Broken promises sometimes can be hard to recover from. A broken plan can all leave you in a state of loneliness where you feel that somebody has forgotten. Just two more scriptures and we'll go. First, in Psalm 34, verse 18, you say, okay, you located me. You may be smiling. Maybe nobody knows you're brokenhearted. Maybe nobody knows you're there. You're smiling. You do a good job. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're going through. They may be dark, lonely days, but God is your deliverer. And if you'll look to him, he will sure enough deliver you out of every single one of them. Somebody said, but I feel snake bit tonight. Paul was snake bit over there in Acts 27, going into Acts 28. A viper attached itself to his hand. And you know what he did? He shook it off into the flame and suffered no ill effect. Maybe you have been snake bit. Shake it off. I said, shake it off. And so if you'll look to the Lord, he'll help you. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. My friend, every hair on your head has been counted by God. The Bible says, Psalm 139, every step you've taken today and tonight, God's already counted. You say, but I haven't taken all my steps. God already knows how many steps you're going to take. He's counted every hair on your head. The Bible says not a sparrow can fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. And you're worth much more than any sparrow. God cares for you. Father, we've endeavored in this time to share. God has not forgotten you. And we know that there are people here who are hurting, who have felt that sense of loneliness, that sense of being forgotten. They can be in a crowd of people and feel forgotten. And maybe it was because of a broken promise. Maybe it was because of something that didn't go right, a broken plan. Maybe broken people hurt them. But I thank you for reaching out to your people tonight. I thank you for touching people tonight. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But you say, Brother Bill, you're talking to me. I am experiencing that loneliness. I am experiencing, I just want to see who I'm talking to. Every head's bowed. Just lift your hand. I'm experiencing loneliness. What you're talking about, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. Yeah. Just all over. Praise God. Amen. You can keep your hands down. Father, you see honest hands and hurting hearts. We trust you to touch your people tonight, to heal them every place they hurt. Some, like David, will have to strengthen themselves in the Lord. They'll have to get into the Word. They'll have to get into worship. They'll have to get into fellowship. They'll have to be around the people of God. And all of those things will heal them every place they hurt. And then others, Father, will have to rise again with the plan of God like you gave to Elijah. You gave him a new plan. And others will have to rise with a new plan that you've given them in their heart. Just because a plan didn't go right doesn't mean you don't have a plan for them now. And then still others who've suffered at the hands of people will have to reach out like Joseph and forgive. What someone intended to harm them, you're turning around for their good. And they'll just have to reach beyond and forgive. So we thank you and we look to you tonight. With every head still bowed, if you're here tonight and you say, I'm in that place. I know what it's like to walk with Jesus, but I'm not walking with him now. Like Elijah, I've been blown hundreds of miles off course and I'm not living right. And I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. You say to God, I'm not going to lie to you, God. I'm not living right and I want to make it right tonight. Let me see your hand in this place. I want you to pray for me, Brother Bill. I want to make it right between me and God. Lift your hand real high where I can see it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah. I want to make it right. I don't want to go another day. I realize God's trying to help me. I realize now God does love me. I realize maybe I've been self-deceived or let the enemy deceive me, but I have felt that loneliness and despair. But God does care about me. God does see what I'm going through. I realize the word is true. And over in Psalm 56, verse 8, he puts our tears in his bottle and it records them in his book. Let me see your hand. I want you to pray for me. Yeah. You might be here. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Tonight's your night. You can receive him as your Savior tonight. Tonight is your night. Oh, man. But I do know this. The Lord laid this message on my heart for you. And if you'll obey him now, if you'll listen to him, get your mind off of people. Get your mind off of people. If you'll obey him, he's going to set you totally free. He's going to spark in you a well down in your spirit, down in your soul, and from that well will come rivers of living water. And where you are dry right now, the Lord will overflow you with his presence and with himself. You raised your hand a few moments ago. I want you to do something bold, bold, bold. But God is going to set you free if you'll obey him. I want you just to stand up right where you are. I want you just to stand up on your feet. You raised your hand just a minute ago. I want you to stand up on your feet. And you said, hey, I want to make it right with God. I know I'm not living right. I want to make this right with God. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. If you'll be so bold as to obey him, he'll be so bold as to deliver you and set you free. You want to be free tonight? Get up out of your seat. Just be bold. There's nobody here going to condemn you. We all love you. Just come right down here. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. He's going to deliver you. Stand right there. He's going to help you. Stay right there. Some other folks are going to come. There's more than this young lady. Come on. Come on. You know God's dealing with you. Other people can't see it, but in your heart, you know he's dealing with you. You say, how do you know that, Brother Bill? I know that through prayer. I know it through prayer. God's dealing with you. Oh, come on and let him help you. God, this is the time when he is going to touch you. He is going to change you. He is going to set you free. But you have a part to play. You have a part to play. You have to decide, am I going to stay there or am I going to obey him? Do I want to be free or do I want to stay bound? God doesn't want you to be lonely. He doesn't want you to experience that. God bless you. He doesn't want you to experience that. He's reaching out to you. He's trying to get your attention, and you know it's him. You know it's him. The Bible says this, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Come on and respond to him. Are you more concerned about who's sitting next to you or who might see you? Are you more concerned about the Lord and being free and being set free in your heart and in your spirit? There are others who are in this place right now. You're watching me, you're listening to me, and you're sitting. Come on, in Jesus' name, get out of your seat. Come down here and let the Lord help you. Come down here right now and let the Lord help you. The enemy is trying to keep you bound. He wants to send you back home in loneliness and despair. If you'll get up and come down here, the Lord said he's going to set you free. Come on now. Come on now. You know he's talking to you. You know he's talking to you. You say, your appeal. Why is your appeal so strong? Because I was alerted in prayer, arrested in prayer, arrested in prayer. People are hurting and God loves you. God cares for you. God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. And he's going to set you totally free. He's going to give you joy. He's going to give you peace. He's going to help you. The Lord's going to help you tonight. Oh, but you got to obey him. You got to listen and obey him. But oh, when you do, oh, the power of God's going to be demonstrated in your behalf. And you're not going to leave here like you came. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody else, you're supposed to be down here. Come on, get up and come on. Come on. Come on, we're waiting on you. We're waiting on you. Come on, somebody else, you're supposed to be down here. We're waiting on you. You say, how do you know that? Just know it on the inside. Just know it on the inside. Come on. Let him help you. Come on. That's right. Come on. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord loves his people. The Lord loves you so much. He's counted every hair on your head. The Lord, he loves you so much. Hallelujah. God's one. He's here to help you, to minister to you. Hallelujah. Down here, I want you just to lift one hand to the Lord, because that's where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. I'm just a man, but the Lord, the one with whom we have to do. Oh, he's the one. He's the one. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for each of these honest hearts tonight, Father God. Oh, thank you for them, Father. You see their plight. You see their circumstance. You see their situation. I want you to say this prayer out loud after me. Just say this prayer out loud after me. Lord, I come. And I just come honestly. I just come humbly. And I just yield myself to you. Lord, I'm tired of living the way I've been living. And I want you to set me totally free. Father, I just repent I give you my heart. I give you my life. You said if I would confess my sins, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so I turn to you to set me free in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, oh, for setting your people free now. Father, from every bit of the hurt, the pain, the loneliness, the discouragement. Oh, there's freedom. Oh, my, freedom in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. You just be totally free in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for setting your people free tonight. Freedom. Oh, may that joy like a river. Father God, thank you for every, we just bind every hindrance in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for total freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, be free in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Freedom tonight in Jesus' name. In that mighty name, in that mighty name, we declare peace and freedom to you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, be completely free. In Jesus' name, in your mind, from those thoughts, in Jesus' name, be totally and completely free. Glory be to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, just be free. In Jesus' name, gonna be a new day. Gonna be a new day. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Come on, congregation, get up on your feet. Come on, let's worship God. Lift your hands to him. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Got anything we can sing? Let's praise God. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Magnify him. Come on, extol him and bless him. Hallelujah. The Lord's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. Name of
come on.
The
Lord,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise his
hallelujah.
Name
forever. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
We will sing
hallelujah.
Your praise.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh Lord, oh Lord,
hallelujah.
Our
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Do praise
glory
the name
come on,
of
hallelujah.
The Lord our God.
God. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise his
hallelujah.
Name forevermore.
Glory be to God.
For endless
hallelujah.
Days
praise
we
God.
Will sing
hallelujah.
Your praise.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord our God.
Listen to me, I got a word for you. Here's the Lord saying to you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Lord's gonna turn it around for you. What has caused you sorrow, what has caused you mourning, what has caused you heartache, what has caused you pain, what has caused you hurt, what has caused you problems, the Lord's gonna turn it around. And that which has caused, he's gonna turn your mourning into dancing, your night into day, your sorrow into joy. He said, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. Oh, woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he is. You can mark this day. You can mark it down. Oh, this joy. Joy. A river of joy. Oh, joy. Joy, joy. There's a joy. There's a Holy Ghost shout in here. Followed by joy. Woo! Glory to God. There's a shout. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. I said there's a Holy Ghost shout coming on. I said there's a Holy Ghost shout coming on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. And so you've come one way, but you shall depart another way, saith the Lord. And the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And my favor shall guard you like a shield. And you shall forget the days of sorrow. The days of sorrow and pain shall flee away. Oh, and everlasting joy shall fill the reservoir. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Somebody needs to say, ha, ha, ha. Shall be upon your head. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. And so look to me, says the Lord. Turn your eyes fully on me, and all that was behind you shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want you to— this is Brother Paul. Come here, Brother Paul. He's our prayer minister tonight. He's going to take you to a place of prayer. Pray with you individually. Make sure that you get every answer to your question and that you don't leave the way that you came. The hand of the Lord is upon you, and you know that. You know the hand of the Lord is upon you. Yeah. The hand of the Lord's on you. You know that, don't you? God is with you, and his hand is upon you, and you know it. You know it, don't you? God's with you. His hand is on you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I want you to go with Brother Paul. And come on, church family, let's encourage our family. This is our family. They are our family. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. I said, God is good. Come on, let's encourage him again. Come on, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Oh, if you knew how much God loves you, you're the center of his attention, the apple of his eye. God is enamored, enthralled with you. Father, for everyone going to the prayer room, we just thank you for honest hearts. And we know that you're dealing with every single one of them. And we know that your power has already rested upon each of them. But may they receive everything, Father. If some haven't spoken in tongues in a while, may that come out like a gusher. If others have never experienced that, may they experience the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. May every care— Father, we could tell you're already dealing with all of them, every one of them you've touched. And so, Father God, continue to move in the prayer room and continue to move in their lives. We'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise for it in Jesus' name. My friend, don't you deceive yourself and don't let the enemy deceive you into going into a pity party. You start thinking God doesn't love you and God doesn't care. You encourage yourself in the Lord if there's nobody there to encourage you. And you stay in active fellowship with believers. Just like a fire log burns brighter with other fire logs, so will you mount around other Christians. And then don't neglect to worship him and thank him for all the great things he's done for you. He's been so good to you. Don't forget this week to remember to pray for our senior pastors, the team that's with them in Canada. Let's keep them lifted up in our prayers. Some of you came in here tonight. It was your very first time here at Rhema. We got a great gift, just like was it Pastor Marvin who did announcements? Who did announcements tonight? Pastor Marvin. So just like Pastor Marvin promised, we've got a great gift for you. So we want you to go get that now. So if you'll go with our connection team people right now, they're going to lead you to that. Give you that gift. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to give you a gift. Let's show our love for all these who came their first time.
All right, my friend, lift one hand to the Lord. Father, unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Protect everybody going home now. Keep us safe until we see one another again in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friend, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. We love you. We'll see you. See you Wednesday night for Hour of Power. God bless you.